take up for our consideration the intercession, the mediation, the fact that Christ is our go-between between us and God the Father this afternoon. Our text as we take up the study will be from Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 19 through 25. However, our text will be verses 19 through 23. It's going to be found on page 1007, 1007 of the Pew Bibles. So, beloved, hear now the word of God. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day that is the day of the Lord drawing near. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We will be looking at Belgic Confession Article 26, which is on page 180. You'll notice it begins on page 180, and it goes through page 183. So I'm not sure it would be beneficial for us to read every single word of this before we begin the sermon, but what I'd like to do, I'll be taking out pieces of this as we go along. Hopefully that way things make a little more sense to us and we can retain a little bit better that way. So indeed, we will be looking at Article 26, but we'll bring that into the sermon as needed. Beloved, no parent says that they've stopped being a parent to their child, even when those children are grown up. Certainly the relationship changes from a child-adult relationship to an adult-adult relationship. So maybe there are some differences, but yet we still call mom, mom, and dad, dad. Mom and dad's role is intended to be a lifelong duty and relationship, even though that's really not always the way it works out in our broken world. Parents are always there to lend an ear, to offer wisdom, to empathize with our sorrows and our fears. They're there to encourage us. And so their work and their role changes and it morphs as time goes on. But again, that relationship, parent-child, does not go away. It always exists. And so we should be able to have confidence that indeed our parents are there for us in a whole multitude of ways throughout every step of our lives. But we know how life works in this world. This is true. Until it isn't. Due to the brokenness of the world, relationships between parents and children become fractured for some. And even for quote-unquote good parent-child relationships, we all know that ultimately death will separate every child from their earthly father and mother. And so the relationships that we have with our parents are good ones. But beloved, there is good news for us. And that is that there is a much better advocate for us out there than even our own parents. One who's even better than the most godly and the most long-lived parents. That advocate, that mediator, that go-between, that intercessor is Jesus Christ. He'll never let us down. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never go away and leave us to ourselves. Because of him, we have every confidence that he will not walk away from us. But even more so, we can have confidence that we can enter, that we have access to God himself. As our only high priest, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But beloved, his work did not stop there. It's not as if Jesus came to this world, died for our sins, now his work is over. As we'll see this afternoon, we have a lot to be thankful for. His work did not stop at the cross. Again, atoning for our sins. It is finished. That's done. But Jesus didn't just leave us on our own after that. As our high priest, as our head, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us. He prays for us. He interacts with God on our behalf daily. He's doing it now. Even as we sit in this building, Christ is interceding for you. He brings us before the Father constantly. He pours the Spirit into us without measure. And so, beloved, this drives us to this theme as we look at this text, this confession this afternoon, that we have confidence to enter into the holy places through the great high priest, Jesus Christ. We have full confidence to enter into the holy places, the throne room of God, through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. So first we'll see that he is our only mediator, that he is our only confidence, and finally we'll see our only need. Christ is our only mediator, our only confidence, and we'll finish off with our only need. While I was preparing this afternoon and re-going through my notes, it dawned on me after my class this afternoon that in a non-preaching atmosphere, I might ask my catechism students to stand up and define what an intercessor is, because we just talked about this today, didn't we, guys? We just talked about the fact that Christ is our intercessor. He's our mediator. But what does that mean? Why do we need an intercessor? Why do we need a mediator? Why do we need someone to stand between us and God? Well, children, especially those of you who have been able to take Sunday school and Bible classes with mom and dad at home school or in the school building, do you remember what things looked like for Israel when they came to the foot of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19? What did that look like? There was all sorts of thunder. There was smoke. There was lightning. The earth shook, and the people were desperately afraid. They were terrified. They were awestricken. We can't go up to God. In fact, God had said, "Don't you dare come up to me." And so someone had to go between God and go between his people Israel. And that's what Moses did. Moses went up the mountain to speak with God on behalf of the people of Israel. He served as a go-between, someone who could represent both parties. Or think about this. Do you remember what happened with the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah goes to the temple and he has a vision, and he is just overwhelmed with the glory of God. The seraphim are flying all around, crying out together, "Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of the glory of God." And what does Isaiah do in that moment when those bright lights and those angels are flying around him? He's undone. What we mean by that is he felt like he should die. "Woe is me," he says, "for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Woe is me. I cannot be in the presence of this holy God." But the children, do you remember what happens? And the seraphim flies up to him, touches a coal to his mouth, and says, "This has cleansed you. Your guilt has been removed." So, beloved, like Israel and like Isaiah, we cannot go before God on our own. What would that mean? If you and I entered into the presence of God right now, without the mediation of Christ, it would mean eternal death for us. So to come before God is no trivial thing. It's no minor thing. It's nothing to scoff at. So someone better than Moses had to come, because eventually, just like our parents, Moses died. He's gone. Well, we had the high priest line of Aaron and all those who came after him, but they're gone. They're dead. That line has ended. Why? Because someone better than any of those, Moses, Aaron, any of the high priests has come. The one to whom those mediators pointed. That is Jesus Christ. We have someone far better. Someone that we can trust forever. We have Jesus Christ. And so if you would, look with me at verses 19 and 21, 19 through 21 of our text. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we'll take this on in a moment. The point is that we can do this. Why? If you have a reason to be confident. If you would, look at your confession, Belgic Confession, Article 26. It begins this way. We believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He therefore was made man, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty. Otherwise, we read, we would have no access. No Christ, no access to God. Jesus is our only way to God. And again, Scripture proves this. Scripture makes this very clear. If you would turn back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. We just read of Christ's death in the Gospel of John. But here Luke gives us a couple extra details that John did not include in his gospel. So Luke chapter 23. We'll begin reading at verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. Then hear this. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly, this man was innocent. People of God, indeed, he was. He was innocent. The centurion perhaps did not know what he was saying, but he spoke the truth. Christ, the innocent one, dying in place of the guilty who? The guilty who? You. Me. We're the guilty. He the innocent. Christ, the innocent, mediating, interceding between God and man. But not just another mediator like Moses. Not in a vision like Isaiah saw, but Jesus Christ, the God-man, taking on our flesh, making that separation between God and man sliced right down the middle so we have access to God. No one else could do this. So what? So what, beloved? Don't try to be your own mediator. Don't offer the Lord your own good works. Don't offer the Lord a comparison between you and other people. Well, Lord, at least I'm not like him. No. Don't take your salvation into your own hands. Young people, don't offer the faith of your parents. Don't be your own mediator. No one else can mediate between you and God except for Jesus Christ. Only he can be your mediator. Not your works, not yourself, not your parents, not your pastor. No one other than Jesus Christ. Just as 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But congregation, we are fearful creatures, aren't we? We're timid. We give in to fear often. Kids, when you go to bed at night, some of you might be afraid of the dark. Some of you might have trouble sleeping from time to time. Some of us wake up with nightmares and we don't know what to do. We cry out for mom and dad. I need somebody to come by my side. All I want is my mom and my dad. But mom and dad can't be next to us 24/7, can they? The good news for us is that God in Christ is near to us 24/7 by his Spirit. Christ is interceding, pleading his blood for you, his righteousness for you 24/7. God is always there. So secondly, this afternoon we have Jesus, who is our only confidence. And this is especially true, beloved, when it comes to our guilt over sin. We have the promise that he will never leave us. We have no reason to be terrified of God because Jesus is always our mediator, always our intercessor. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. He does not cease interceding for us when we sin, beloved. Hear that. He does not stop interceding for us when we sin. He especially mediates for us when we sin. When we come to him in repentance and faith, he pleads his blood and righteousness for you and for me. That's because he's pleading his blood. He's pleading his righteousness, not yours, not mine. He's pleading his blood, his righteousness. Righteousness, not ours. So we shouldn't be terrified of Christ. We should be confident in him. Again, words from Article 26. This is that second paragraph that we see there. But this mediator, whom the Father has appointed between himself and us, ought not to terrify us by his greatness, so that we have to look for another one according to our fancy. For neither in heaven nor among the creatures on earth is there anyone who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Do you hear those words? There is no one in all of heaven or earth who loves you more than Jesus Christ. No one. Nothing. He is our all. Again, if you look down from that paragraph, what do we see as we scan those following lines? We see God is dwelling with us in the flesh. God is becoming our servant. The Son of God becomes one of mankind. Isn't that incredible? Contemplate that for a moment. The God who created the heavens, the stars, he loved us enough to come down here, to take on our flesh, to live for us, to die for us, to rise again and to ascend to his heaven, the glory. Also that we could have the assurance that our sins really, truly, fully, completely have been forgiven. You see, that's confidence. That's assurance. To know, moment by moment, Christ is pleading for you. He's not pleading your goodness, but he's pleading his own. That righteousness that was given to you, credited to you, imputed to you, given to your account. So again, back to our text. What does this confidence look like? Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Are we being willy-nilly here? Are we pretending that we can just goof off? Do whatever we want in the presence of God? No. We need to be reverent towards God. We need to have a righteous fear of God. But beloved, we don't need to be afraid of God. You understand the difference? Having a reverent attitude towards God versus cowering in fear before him. Yes, let us be reverent before him. Let's give him the glory, the honor, the respect, do his name. But we have no reason to cower in his presence. As a believer, did you know that Jesus Christ loves you more than anybody ever could? Examine your own life. Look around in your own spheres of influence. Spouses are going to fail us. Friends are going to hang us out to dry. Parents fall in their callings. Church officers are sinners and they mess up too. But you know what? Jesus never, ever falters. Jesus never, ever fails. Jesus never, ever sins against us. Jesus never leaves us hung out to dry. Jesus never leaves us on our own. Jesus is our mediator, who is no stern judge glaring down on us, just waiting to pounce. No, beloved, the Lord crushed him in our place. And so for the believer, for one who's come to Christ in repentance and in faith, who has come to him full of godly sorrow for sin, for that one who comes to him, Christ is more of a loving friend, more of a faithful companion, more of a tender shepherd, more of a gracious mediator than anyone that we could ever think of, or anyone that we've ever encountered in our entire lives. He's the perfect intercessor, the perfect mediator, the perfect friend. He's the only one. And so indeed, beloved, with the words of our text, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean and from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. No one else can assure you of your faith. No one else can sprinkle your heart clean. No one else can clear your conscience before God. No one else can wash you with that pure water. Only Jesus can. So again, I ask you this afternoon, where are you looking to cleanse your conscience? Where are you looking to be sprinkled clean? Again, we come up with all sorts of excuses. You know what? I'll get myself cleaned up. Get to a certain point, and then Jesus might be able to accept me. Well, you know me. I'll mature in the faith to a point that I find acceptable. Then Jesus will accept me. Beloved, if that is our attitude, then who's doing the negotiating? Who's doing the mediation? Is it Christ? It's me. Don't be your own mediator. Hear these words from the confession once again. Suppose we had to find another intercessor. Who would love us more than he who gave his life for us, even though we were his enemies? Even though we were his enemies? Hear the beauty of Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Once we had attained a certain level of sanctification, Christ died for us. No. Once we had matured to a good point in the faith, then Christ died for us. No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Finding me another mediator like that, beloved. Finding me a mediator that's better than that. You won't, because you can't, because one does not exist. Only Christ can be our mediator. Only Christ is our mediator. Only Christ is our complete assurance and confidence in the faith. And so truly, beloved, Christ, thirdly this afternoon, is our only need. Flip to the end of Article 26, page 182. That last paragraph there, we'll read these final paragraphs. What more do we need? What more do we need? For Christ himself declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why should we seek another mediator? Since it has pleased God to give us his Son as our intercessor, let us not leave him for another, or rather seek without ever finding. For when God gave him to us, he knew well that we were sinners. Therefore, in following the command of Christ, we call on the Heavenly Father through Christ, our mediator, as we are taught by the Lord's Prayer, being assured that we shall obtain all we ask of the Father in his name. Beloved, what more do we need? What more do we think we need? Notice again, I didn't ask, what does she need? What does he need? What do they need? The question is, what more do you need? You only have one option at the end of the day. Hear those words of verse 23 of our text this afternoon. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Let us cleave. Let us cling to the only thing that matters, clinging to Christ alone. Think about that, beloved. What we cling to, what we hold fast to, what we hold dear, what we trust, what we love. That's going to tell us who our mediator is. A child trusts her parents to go to bat for her and chase away those monsters at night. The accused holds fast to his lawyer's words, to his actions, to his work, to defend him from accusations and conviction. And so too, beloved, the believer holds fast to their confession that in spite of my own unfaithfulness, Christ is faithful for me. Before the Father, Christ will not plead the sinner's blood. Before the Father, Christ will not plead the sinner's filthy works. No. Before the Father, Christ pleads his own blood and righteousness in our place. What are you holding fast to today? Who's your mediator? Beloved, if you want that assurance, then confess your sins. Hold fast to Christ alone so that you have that confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. And beloved, for those who believe, praise be to God, the one who saves. So let us hold fast to that confession of our hope without wavering, for we have the promise that he who promised indeed is faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we're so grateful that Christ is our assurance. He is our confidence. He is the faithful one. He is interceding for us. So grant us the assurance of our faith. May we come before your throne boldly. We ask these things in his holy name. Amen. Our song of application will be number 285.